Well, good morning, everyone. Good to see you all. Thank you for visiting, family and friends. I see some familiar faces. Thank you for coming. Well, this morning is a happy day for some and sad day for others. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers, new and old, fathers to be, grandfathers, great-grandfathers, and father figures. And let's remember those who lost their fathers in the past year. We think of our pastor, Barry, who some of us went to his father's funeral yesterday in Burlington at Cross Points Bible Church. What a beautiful service. We were all blessed, I'm sure. We want to remember our pastor on this day. We also think of some of us who have lost children, making this day very difficult. We feel for your pain, and we are feeling the sadness for you. As friends, our hearts go out to you. Thank you for joining us this morning for our service, where we could honor Lord together, and we could remember each other and love one another and love our Lord together this morning. May we bow our heads in prayer and ask a blessing upon each and every one of us and upon his word this morning. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this day being the Lord's Day, the first day of the week, where your church could come together before you to worship you, to praise you, to give you all the glory, give you all the honor. And of course, Lord, to give you all of our love. We want to love you with all our strength, with all our minds, with all our hearts. Help us to do this, Lord, as we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we start, I was so blessed by the funeral that some of us went to yesterday. Pastor Barry has been a pastor here for many, many years, and he's our one of our two pastors. And I was blessed so much by his dad's life that I want to share with you his father's special Bible verses. And they're phenomenal. If you want to follow along with me, if you do want to take your Bibles, I'll be reading out of Proverbs chapter 3. Verse 5, 6, and 7, and out of respect and out of honor for our pastor, I thought that it would be appropriate for us to honor his dad. His name was Leonard Klink. So out of respect for his dad, I just thought I'd read his father's Bible verses. These verses are the verses that Leonard lived. It was the verses that his father stood on as he raised his children, as he raised his grandchildren, as he raised his great-grandchildren. And I thought that this would be appropriate for dear Leonard to be a final blessing on our church. So maybe these words would bless us as well. So we read Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. And it shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Before I start, maybe I could introduce myself for those of you who don't know me. I'm a member here of this church. 3 years ago, I was called upon to become an elder of the church. And my name is Ed DeRoy. So I just thought I'd introduce myself to you this morning. So today it's Father's Day. And every year we struggle what to give Dad. What do we give the man that has two of every kind of each tool known to man, and we think of our brother Barry Farndon. He was part of our work crew in Stainer, and I was assigned to help him out. And I showed up, and he had a tool kit. I thought he was a mechanic for NASA. We think of his dear daughter, Sarah. What do you get, Dad? And I think of his son, Luke. My prayers go out. And I think of his wife. You know, I know dear Barry is not her father, but every woman shops for her man. And then I think of a dear brother who used to come to our church. Now he goes to another church. I think of, what kind of a tie do you get Ron Scott? His poor kids. This guy has every tie, every color, every length, every shape, wide. What do you get Ron Scott? So, when we were kids, we would want to spend time with our dads. And as we grow older, we just want to spend time with our fathers. My dad left us when I was 8, so I grew up without him. I didn't have the problem of figuring out what gift to get him. But I know that I would have wanted to spend time with him. So what kind of gift do we give our Heavenly Father? We can't buy him anything. We can't take him to the Mandarin, my favorite spot. Poutine from Angus is my other favorite. And Pizza Madness from Regino is my third. And today I'm having Pizza Madness from Regino's for supper. And we can't buy him a European riverboat cruise. Wish we could. He certainly deserves it. If I had the money, I would certainly send him on a European riverboat cruise. So we can't give our Heavenly Father our heavenly gifts. We can't give him money. We can't, right? But we could certainly spend time with him. So the question is, what do we do? What is the greatest gift we could give him? The good news is, we all have the same Heavenly Father. We can spend time with him. This is a good place to start. But is the best thing, what is the best thing that we could do for him? So I selected the following passages that tell us what we could give to him. So if you would turn with me in your Bibles to our two passages that I have selected for this morning. The first passage comes out of Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22, verse 36. The Pharisees and the Sadducees were trying to derail Jesus. They were questioning him, and they were trying, you know, they were rejecting him as their king. And there was poor Jesus in front of them, and these guys are just drilling him. So the Sadducees and the Pharisees put together their best lawyer, a best scribe. He was the best qualified in the law, in the Jewish law. And they were just drilling poor Jesus. And then Jesus knew the law himself, and he used the law that was written in the Old Testament. And here Jesus gives us his command. And he was given the scribes and Pharisees the commandments, the greatest things that we could do for our Lord, our Heavenly Father. Let us read together. Well, I'll read while you follow along in your Bibles. In Matthew 22, verse 36. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Our second reading will be out of the Old Testament. You don't have to turn, but if you want to, you can turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5 to 9. You see, the first passage, Jesus was telling the scribes, love the Lord with all your heart and love others. Love the Lord and love men. Love the Lord and love men. That's what Jesus is saying is the greatest thing that we could do for him. Love him and love each other. Wow. And now he takes, and now I'm taking you back to the Old Testament, Deuteronomy, where God says it. He says it a little bit differently, but it's the same. Let me read Deuteronomy 6, verse 5 to 9. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Other times it is mentioned in the whole Bible to love God and to love men. Wow! When I was thinking, pondering what to speak, when the Pastor Barry asked me to speak months ago, I knew right off the hop, right out, soon as he asked me, I knew I was going to speak about our Heavenly Father. The Lord gave it to me right away. Boom, boom. And I believe that the Lord has put the words into my mind, has put everything that I have to say this morning to you is from him, because I am only going to speak the word of God. I am not going to speak my opinions. I'm not going to tell you what I think or what I believe. I'm just going to tell you what is written. That way there will be no agendas on my part. Love the Lord. What does the word love mean in this situation? The word love here in the Greek is agapeo. It means to esteem, to have a high regard, to set high value on. It means the love of the mind, the love of action, rather than the love of feeling or emotion. The highest kind of love, not the love you just feel. It's the love of dedication, the love of commitment, the love of intelligence, the love of purpose, the highest self-sacrificing love. In the verses that I've read, there's a word called heart. What does heart mean? Well, in Hebrew, if you read out of the Old Testament there, the word heart in Hebrew is the core of a person's identity. Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Out of the heart comes thoughts and words and actions. And then in the two passages that I wrote, we said we are to love the Lord with all our soul. Well, what does soul mean? Well, that's a tough one. I struggled with that, and I could tell you all kinds of things. Well, the best that I come up with is the emotional part of our whole being, our whole heart and soul. And then to love the Lord with all your mind. What does mind mean? Well, it's moving ahead with energy and with the will and intention. In other words, it's our intellect. And in other Gospels, they use the word strength. What does strength mean? It's all our physical strength. So we are to love the Lord with all our physical strength, all the mind, all our heart, and all our soul, our whole being, to love the Lord with all our capacity. So it's a balanced intellect love, it's a feeling love, it's a willing love, and it's a serving love. God is not looking for people to go through religious rituals. God wants us to love him with our whole being. God demands that we love him with a perfect love. That is above all the capacity and capabilities No one is right with God, no matter what activity you do in the church, how many sacrifices you offer, how many rules you try to keep. No one is ever right with God until your heart, soul, and mind and strength manifests the love of God. He wants our heart of love. A Christian is a Christian when he demonstrates a consuming love for God. Wow. All I have to do is love God. You try to do that when you have a heart like Ed DeRoy, heart of rock. I'm a tough man, hard man. And you're asking me to love God with all my heart? If only some days you would see what's in my heart, you'd run. You'd run. If only you could hear the words that come out of my mouth sometimes, you'd say, whoa, and he's our elder? In other words, I can't do it on my own. No way, no way. It's a divine love, and I need intervention, and I need divine spiritual intervention. If I am going to love God with all my heart, I could believe you and me, I need it most. Because I am, I think, the tallest of this church. I think I got Tyler beat. I think I beat Brian, because he's aging a little bit, but I'm catching up to the curve. He doesn't have a curve. So what about loving men now? We're called to love men. Wow. You want me? God wants me to love men? Me. I'm going to need help. And later on in this morning, I got 10 minutes left. I better hurry up. Short and sweet. So by the time I leave, I'm going to tell you how we're going to love God. And I guarantee you it's not going to be me who's going to help you. It's not going to be the pastor who's going to help you. It's not going to be none of us here who's going to help you. It's only divine help. So let's talk about loving our brother. It prompts this love that comes from the Father, that overflows, right? It prompts believers to measure their love for others by what they wish for themselves. This flows from the love of God. When you love God right, you'll love people right. We are all self-lovers. We love ourselves. So we need to love others like ourselves. It's the love of purpose, the love of intention, the love of the will, the love of action. As I care for somebody else the same way I care for me, are we concerned with our own comfort, meeting our own needs, our own goals being met? Are we concerned about somebody else? When I'm hungry, do I take care of me? Do I care for somebody else? With the same drive, speed, and concern when I have a need. I want that need met. Do I have the same feeling about someone else's that has a need? When I'm uncomfortable, I want comfort. Do I have the same feeling for someone else who is in discomfort? The point is here, is we are to care about others the same way we care about ourselves. If you love God, you'll do what he says. And if you love men, you'll do what they need. You'll do what they need. You'll do what they need, Ed. I need to be reminded of this, first and foremost. Lost my spot. I need to put my finger on my page. Jesus classifies man's moral duty under two categories, the love of God and the love of men. All the Ten Commandments hang on these two things, love men and love God. If the world would love God and love men, then we wouldn't need the Ten Commandments. The first four commandments are all about loving God. Being God, he's the only God, you'll have no idols before God, and you won't have this before God, and you won't take his name in vain. If you love God, you will not need those Ten Commandments to remind you not to take his name in vain, or to have other gods, or to have idols before him, right? So the first four commandments are about loving God. The last six commandments are about loving others. We wouldn't need these Ten Commandments if the world would love men. What do men do today? They kill each other. Bang, bang. What's up with that? We're not supposed to kill each other. So the Lord gave us a commandment. Don't kill. What do? We sneak at night, kick the door down, steal everything that you work so hard for. We wouldn't need those. We wouldn't need these commandments if we'd love God and love men. So, Ten Commandments are there. Jesus said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart." So I searched the word love in my concordance. I searched the word love. This is 2 weeks ago. I said, "Lord, show me in your word where there is a definition of love. Show me in your word where I could grab so I could tell people from your word what is love. What is the meaning of this love, Lord? I know I am to love you with all my heart, my soul, yes. But then I discovered when I took my concordance that 91 times it is mentioned to love God and to love men, 91 times in the entire Bible. Sometimes together and sometimes separate. Love God, and then it says separately to love others. 91 times. That didn't satisfy me, so I kept on searching and searching, and bang! The Lord gave it to me. 3 weeks ago, this is what the Lord gave me. I did not have an agenda. He gave me this. So, if you would turn with me, because my time's almost out, I had about four more pages, but that's okay. I had a plan. I came prepared. I says, okay, if I have to call it short and sweet, we could close a sermon in the next 5 minutes. If you will turn with me in your Bibles, and I have the definition of love according to my concordance when I took the word love and I searched all in the Old Testament, love, love, love. Every time love was mentioned, like it took me hours, and I found two verses that what the definition of love means. So if you'll turn with me in your Bibles on 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. And this, my brothers and sisters, is a definition of love. Who would have thunk? Who would have thunk? I was kind of going. I went, wow. And this was 2 weeks ago. This is love for God. This is love for God. Out of the NIV. To obey his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. In the King James, it says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments." Excuse me. The best one, the best definition is in the New Living Translation. The New Living Translation is another translation of the Bible. It says, loving God means keeping his commandments. If there's some of you today here who do not know the Lord Jesus, it says somewhere in the New Testament that Jesus himself commands the world to believe in him. I can't find it. The Lord just gave me this passage just fresh off the press from heaven. The Lord just gave it to me. I know for a fact it's in here. In the King James it says Jesus commands us to believe in his Son. He commands us to obey his word. He commands the Canadian government, the leaders of this land, to stand on the commandments of the Lord. And he commands the church to do the same. And he commands us, and he commands everybody in the world, not just his church. If you think you're off the hook because you don't go to church, you're not off the hook. You're commanded to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And after the meeting, I will stand right here in front And if you want to know more about how to believe in Jesus Christ, I will come. And if I'm flooded, other men and women will come and pray with you and will enable you to know the Lord Jesus Christ. So the other passage I have, which is similar, is found in 1 John 5:2. You don't have to turn there. I'm almost out of time. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commandments. Remember, I told you that there was two verses, two places where I found where what love means. Love means to love God, to love men, and attached to that, Jesus says to the world, love God, love men, and follow his commandments. Follow his commandments. Every word, we are to believe every word that comes out of this book of life. I was reading this morning in the book of Revelation at the end, the very last chapter of this book I was reading this morning. If we change any word, the smallest word, we're in trouble. If we alter or if we remove, we are, the whole world is under the command and the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, whether you believe this or not this morning. I am under the authority of Jesus Christ, and I am to stand on the authority of his word and to believe every word and to obey his commands. Not an option. Jesus says, love your God and do what he says. And I say, yes, Lord, amen. In closing, because my time is up, I just want to thank you all for being here this morning. And I love you because it says in Romans 5 that God has poured love in my heart. The love of God is shed abroad. So if we love one another, it's not because we're better than anybody else. It's the love of God that was that shines into my heart. It's a God-given love. And I love because I need to be in the sphere of Jesus Christ. I need to confess all my sins. I need to wake up in the morning. Before I go to bed, I make myself clean. I say, Lord, I'm sorry for doing this, for saying this, for doing that. Now, Lord, would you live in me tomorrow morning when I bounce out of bed? Would you live my life for me so I could love you and love men and follow your commands? And I depend on you and I trust in you to do this for me. And it's him who's going to build his church. It's him who's going to live our lives, live his life through and by. He's going to live it because I've been crucified, and it's not me that lives anymore. It's Jesus Christ that lives in me and through me. So this is how we're going to please our Father today and tomorrow. Thank you for coming. Thank you so much for being here. May you be blessed. I will remain up front here. If anybody wants to obey the commandment of Jesus, and you want to believe in Jesus, I'll be right here. I'll spend a couple of moments. You want me to pray with you? I'll pray with you. I'll point you to the way of salvation, and it's Jesus Christ through the belief in his Son. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a beautiful, beautiful message to have your word, to stand on your word because we love you. Give us this great love, Lord. We all have someone in our lives that we love, whether it was our mother, whether it be our father, whether it be our friend. I think of my mother, Lord. I would drive great distances twice a month to be with her in the old folks' home where she was, and I couldn't wait to see her, and I loved her, Lord. Give us the love that a place to start is, let's love him like we love our fathers, our mothers, our sisters, someone in your life that you love. Is there someone in your life that you love? Love Jesus like this. Love God like this. It's a good place to start. Give us this love, O Lord. And out of this love for you, we will flow and we will love men and we will do what they need and we will love them, Father. So grant us this, we pray, in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Go in peace. Sad day for some, happy days for other. Let's rejoice with those that are rejoicing and be glad. Some of us are going to the Mandarin. Some of us are going to Swiss Chalet. Tonight is pizza madness at my place. You're all invited. Go in the peace of the Lord. And thank you for coming. Blessings. Blessings. Thank you.